This is Studio 360, and I'm Kurt Anderson. Back in 1983, before a lot of you were even born, Weird Al Yankovic released his debut album.
I hear those ice cream bells and I start to drool.
It included this parody of one of that year's biggest hits, Joan Jett's I Love Rock and Roll.
I know what I need, baby. I love Rocky Road. So won't you go and buy half a gallon, baby? I love Rocky Road. So have another triple scope with me. Ow!
There have been plenty of funny novelty records that have come and gone over the years. But Weird Al sold 500,000 copies of that album, stuck around, and his 1984 follow-up, In 3D, went platinum. That's the one with his Michael Jackson parody, Eat It. And now, three decades later, Yankovic's new album, Mandatory Fun, is number one on the charts. His first ever.
I never bother with baggies, glass jars, Tupperware containers, plastic cling wrap, really a no-brainer. I just like to keep all my flavors sealed and tight with aluminum foil.
Foil.
Never settle for less. That kind of wrap is just the best to keep your sandwich nice and fresh.
I spoke with him last summer when he was in the middle of making Mandatory Fun. Al Yankovic, welcome. It is such a pleasure to have you in Studio 360.
Thank you, Kurt. Great to be here.
So you have been around long enough to parody Billy Ray Cyrus and his daughter, Miley, Madonna and her daughter, Lady Gaga. Not only do you have multiple generations of fans, but the artists you parody have come to see your music as more than just some stunt. Lady Gaga called your parody of her song Born This Way a rite of passage. I want to play just a little bit of that song.
I'm so completely original. My new look is all the rage. I'll wrap my small intestines round my neck and set fire to myself on stage. I'll wear a porcupine on my head.
So at this point, not that you've been ever a vicious satirist, but how does it feel to be this kind of elder statesman, some kind of bizarro world version of Ed Sullivan and Dick Clark?
It's a very odd thing because, yeah, it's sort of a signal that an artist has reached a certain plateau in their career. You know, they've got the Grammys, they've got the platinum albums, then they get the Weird Al parody. So it's just part of the triumvirate there.
So you're a little younger than I am, but it's the 60s, it's the early 70s, and rock and roll is happening, and Hendrix is happening, and Dylan is happening. This guitar revolution of rock and roll takes itself very seriously in many ways. And you have an accordion and start writing parodies. How did that happen?
Well, oddly enough, my friends actually didn't want me in their rock bands with an accordion.
Really?
They weren't ahead of the curve. They didn't realize that the accordion would take over Western civilization the way that it obviously has.
There were no hipsters to rediscover it yet.
You know, I was the original hipster, I'm sorry to say, yeah. Yes.
And at what point did you decide, well, the accordion is funny?
Well, I didn't intend it to be funny, but, you know, I love rock and roll, and I'd learn songs off the radio and play it, you know, on the accordion, and my friends would think there was humor in that. They thought the juxtaposition was ridiculous, and I didn't think quite so much, but I found that other people did, and I kind of used that to my advantage.
I started playing Doors songs on the trumpet. If I'd only understood what you understood. You jokingly say you're the original hipster, but the hipsters of right now are all embracing you. You've done on Cartoon Network, Robot Chicken, Tim and Eric Awesome Show, 30 Rock. Do you go to them and strategize of, oh, I want the cool kids to like me? Or do they come to you?
You know, it's hard to proactively try to be cool or relevant. It just
– It's the opposite of cool.
It kind of happens if it happens. So I don't know. You know, for a long stretch of my career, I wasn't considered cool. In fact, my manager will tell you stories about when I was starting out, he couldn't get his phone calls returned. He'd say, hi, I represent Weird Al Yankovic. And they'd say, oh, I'm so sorry.
Really?
So
even after you'd had hits?
You know, I had to have a lot of hits before I stopped being considered a one-hit wonder.
Then you were a two-hit wonder and a six-hit
wonder?
Right,
right. And then after all, oh, he's not going away, is he? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you won three Grammy Awards. Your first one in 1984 was for Eat It, named Best Comedy Record. And anybody who was alive then will remember the music video. It is a shot-for-shot parody of Michael Jackson's video for Beat It. The arrival of MTV just when you essentially, as you were starting out, is an incredibly fortuitous thing, right?
Yeah, I was sort of an outlier in that sense because, yeah, MTV and I started out at the same time. And when MTV started out, people were obsessed with it. I mean, you know, it was a 24-hour music video channel. People hadn't seen anything like that before. And, you know, I was certainly one of those people that would watch MTV for hours and hours every day. And that hit videos were things people were intimately familiar with. You knew every shot of those videos. So that made my job very easy because all you had to do was tweak things a little bit and people instantly knew what direction you were going.
Right. Well, let's go back in time to that moment and hear our special unplugged version of Eat It performed live right here.
Such a fussy young man. Don't want no Captain Crunch, don't want no Raisin Bran. Well, don't you know that other kids are starving in Japan? So eat it, just eat it. Don't wanna argue, I don't wanna debate. Don't wanna hear about what kind of food you hate. You won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate, so eat it. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it. Eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried, just eat it. Food, this ain't some kind of game. Now if you starve to death, you'll just have yourself to blame. So eat it, just eat it. You better listen, better do what you're told. You haven't even touched your tuna casserole. You better chow down or it's gonna get cold. So eat it. I don't care if you're full, just eat it.
Eat it.
Eat it. If it's getting cold, reheat it. Have a big dinner, have a light snack. If you don't like it, you can't send it back. Just eat it.
Eat it.
That was Weird Al Yankovic and his band performing live, the ultimate modern pop parody, Eat It. You sort of, in this unplugged way, you've sort of turned it into a Clapton-esque Layla-like thing.
Yes, that was actually something that we had done for MTV in the late 90s. They wanted to do a parody spot based on the fact that I had kind of changed my look at that time, and their Unplugged series was obviously very popular. So we did this mock commercial for our new sound, and we did these Eric Clapton-esque versions of our hits.
I've always loved, and every time I've heard that song, I chuckle still at the phrase tuna casserole being in a rock and roll song.
And one of the first times, I believe.
I think. And can you introduce this greatest cover band on earth?
Yes. Over there on keys, Ruben Valtierra, Jim Kimo West on guitar, Steve Jay on bass, and John Bermuda Schwartz on drums.
As you're picking songs to do parodies of, do you have like a team of Weird Al interns who are just combing through all the different genres and say, this is a hit. This is about to become a hit.
Oh, you know, I do not. I don't have a whole office full of people saying, you know what you should do. No, I just personally go through the Billboard charts and go online, and I kind of make a master list of songs that I think are good candidates for parody. And then I try to think of every possible variation on a theme and see if there's anything that, you know, has some kind of spark where I can develop it into a full 3.5 minute long pop song.
Would you be willing to take suggestions from our listeners?
No.
Okay, good. Good.
I don't, because I that's the bane of my existence. Every day of my life, people say, I got this great idea. I've been holding on to it since the third grade. It's like, oh, you should do this. So I tell people right off the bat, like, you know, I don't really take ideas from people.
What do you listen to at home or in your car?
A little bit of everything. I've got a 10-year-old daughter, so we mostly listen to what she wants to listen to in the car. But she's pretty
again warped. And again and again.
Yes, it's true. But I mean, thankfully, she's about as warped as me. And for about a 1 month period, we listened to "They're Coming to Take Me Away, Ha Ha" nonstop.
Really?
In the car.
Clearly, you introduced that to her.
Oh,
which
yes,
was the great novelty comic song of my childhood.
Yeah, that was – in fact, I'm going to see Jerry Samuels, who's Napoleon the 14th, pretty soon. He runs a rest home now. So I'm going to –
Is that sad or not?
No. I mean, he's doing what he loves as well. I'm going to visit the people there pretty soon.
Really?
Yeah.
I understand, because I've never heard a recording of it, but you do a version of Elvis Costello's Radio Radio?
I do. You know, we do – that's sort of our emergency song, meaning that if there's anything that happens on stage – the computer server goes down or something that makes it impossible for us to continue, we stop the show and say, ladies and gentlemen, there's no reason to go on with this. Radio, radio. And then we just go into that. So it's if you ever hear that in one of our live shows, it means something has gone horribly wrong.
Can we declare this in a special emergency?
Let's do that. Here we go.
My radio advised, with every one of those late night stations playing songs bringing tears to my eyes. I was seriously thinking about hiding the receiver when the switch broke, 'cause it's old. The same things that I can hardly believe, they really think we're getting out of control. Radio is the sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. They say you better listen to the reason, but they don't give you any choice, 'cause they think that it's treason. So you would better do as you were told. You better listen to the radio. I wanna bite the hand that feeds me. I wanna bite that hand so badly. I wanna make them wish they'd never. Every evening, and they worry about the times ahead. But everybody else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. You either shut up or get cut out. They don't want to hear about it. It's only inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to understand the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. They say you better listen to the voice of reason, but they don't give you any choice, 'cause they think that it's treason. So you had better do as you were told. You better listen to the radio. Wonderful radio.
That's Weird Al playing, simply playing, not parodying, Elvis Costello's Radio Radio. Weird Al's new album, Mandatory Fun, is out right now, and it parodies everybody from Pharrell to Lorde to Robin Thicke to that Australian girl who raps with a southern accent.
I got 99 problems, but a switch ain't one.
I'm so handy.